Blog Talk Radio.
In podcast land, welcome. We welcome you. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, the Messenger Edition on Block Talk Radio. This is Nurse Carmen, and we have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And next, we'll have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and welcome once again to Hodge to Hodge podcast. My co-producer said enough, but I wanted us to understand because something funny. One day, one of my family members was asking me, because I'm always trying to just give them insight onto some of the ways in which they looked at things. How, if we stop looking from it, from that perspective and look at it from a different perspective, we'd be able to better understand just what and how God is. And they asked me, did I still like to listen to gospel music? But I want you to know, gospel music has some very, very, very enlightening messages in it. And it's the same as with the Bible. There is a lot of very enlightening messages in it, but we fail to see the true meaning in these things. We fail to see it because our teachers have told us of an angry God, a God, a jealous God, a God who needs to be needed. And that is not a God at all, but a crazy substitute for that, which would be a deity. A true master is not the one with the most students, but one who creates the most masters. A true leader is not the one with the most followers, but one who creates the most leaders. A true king is not the one with the most subjects, but one who leads the most to royalty. A true teacher is not the one with the most knowledge, but one who causes the most others to have knowledge. And a true God is not one with the most servants, but one who serves the most, thereby making gods of all others. For this is both the goal and glory of God, that his subjects shall be no more, and that all shall know God not as the unattainable, but as the unavoidable. I would that you could be this. I would that you could this understand. Your happy destiny is unavoidable. You cannot be saved. There is no hell except not knowing this. So now, as parents, spouses, and loved ones, seek not to make of your love a glue that binds, but rather a magnet that first attracts, then turns around and repels. Least those are attractive begin to believe they must stick to you to survive. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be more dangerous to another. Let your love propel your beloveds into the world and into the full experience of who they are. And this you have truly loved. It is a great challenge, this path of the householder. There are many distractions, many worldly concerns. But you have to understand that you bring bread and water and give his humble mat on which to lie. And you can devour his very hour to prayer, meditation, and contemplation of the divine. How easy to see the divine under such circumstances. How simple a task. But give one a spouse and children. See the divine in a baby who needs changing at 3 a.m. See the divine in a bill that needs paying by the first of the month. Recognize the hand of God in the illness that takes a spouse, the jobs that lost, the child's fever, the parents' pains. Now we are talking saintlessness. I understand your fatigue. I know you're tired of the struggle. Yet I tell you this. When you follow God, the struggle disappears. Live in your God space and the events around and the events become blessings. All one and oil. All. Then you say, well, how can I get to my God space when I've lost my job, the rent needs paying, the kids need a dentist, and being in my, you know, my home, I need all these bills to pay. How do I get to my God space? And I say, do not forsake God when you need him most. Now is the hour of your greatest testing. Now is the time of your greatest chance. It is the chance to prove everything that has been written. When God said, don't forsake me, God sounds like that's needy, neurotic God we talked about. But God is not. You can forsake God all you want. God does not care, and it won't change a thing between us. God is merely saying this in answer to your question. It is when the going gets tough that you so often forget about who you are and the tools that God has given you for creating the life that you could choose. So I just want, this is what I meant when I say that there are so much in the Bible that is really good for us, but we're looking at it from the wrong perspective. Do not forsake God. Now, people would take do not forsake God as if God is saying you've got to hold on to him and go to church and do all of that, and that way you're not forsaking him. But oh, how wrong they are. When he says, do not forsake me, what he is saying is, do not forget who you are.
Amen.
When the going gets tough, realize that you have the power to change it, to make the tough smooth.
Right.
But if we look at it from the way in which the teachers and our parents and everyone has taught us, we once again look at God as a needy deity that needs all of this different stuff from us. So I merely say this to answer the questions. It is when the going gets tough that you so often forget who you are. Just remember that God has given you creating the life that you would choose. Now is the time to go to your God space more than ever. First, it will bring you great peace of mind. And from a peaceful mind, do great ideas flow. Ideas which could be solutions to the biggest problems you imagine yourself to have. Second, it is in your God space that you self-realize, and that is the purpose, the only purpose of your soul. When you are in your God space, you know and understand that all you are now experiencing is temporary. I tell you that heaven and earth shall pass away, but you shall not. This everlasting perspective helps you to see things in their proper perspective. You can define these present conditions and circumstances as what they truly are: temporary, temporal. You may use them as tools, for that is what they are: temporary, temporary tools in the creation of present experience. Just who do you think you are in relationship to experience called lose a job? Do you think you are? And perhaps more to the point, who do you think God is? Do you imagine this to be too big a problem for God to solve? Is getting out of this jam too big a miracle for God to handle? I understand that you think it's too big for you to handle, even with all the tools God has given you. But do you really think it's too big for God? So, and I say this because this is important for us to start from a different perspective of seeing things. And one of the things that I noticed, especially with my baby sis, she's real careful now on how she says certain things to me because I'm quick to show her another way. Because there is another way. We always take anything and look at it and make it, from our limited knowledge, as the worst thing.
Mm.
How many people you know have lost their job and they come right back and tell you how they found an even better job?
Yes, I've heard that too.
So is losing that job as bad as we made it out to be?
Nope.
So perhaps this is a good time to go over once more how it is that God interacts with you. Because you think it is a question of God's desire, and I'm telling you it's a question of yours. God wants for you what you want for you. Nothing more, nothing less. God doesn't sit here and make judgments, requests by requests, whether something should be granted you. God's law is the law of cause and effect, not the law of we'll see. There is nothing you can't have if you choose, even before you ask. God will have given it to you. Do you believe this?
Amen.
Just always stay with the truth of your experience. I understand that. I honor that. That's okay with me. Because some don't believe that whatever you ask that you get, that life has not been temporary to that. In fact, I really get what I ask for. When I do, I consider myself damn lucky. And that's an interesting choice of words. You have an option. It seems in your life you can either be damn lucky or you can be blessed lucky. I'd rather you be blessing Lucky, but of course, it never interferes with your decision. I tell you this, you always get what you create, and you are always creating. God does not make a judgment about the creations that you conjure. He simply empowers you to conjure more and more and more. If you don't like what you're just created, choose again. God's job is to always give you that opportunity. Now, you're telling me that you haven't always gotten what you wanted, yet I'm here to tell you that you've always gotten what you called for. Your life is always a result of your thoughts about it, including your obvious creative thoughts that you seldom get what you choose. Now, in this present instance, you see yourself as the victim of the situation and losing of your job. Yet the truth is that you no longer choose that job. You stop getting up in the morning in anticipation, began getting up with dread. You stop feeling happy about your work and began feeling resentment. You even began fantasizing doing something else. You think these things mean nothing? You understand your power. I'm sorry, you misunderstand your power. I tell you this, your life proceeds out of your intentions for it. So what is your intentions now? Do you intend to prove your theory that life seldom brings you what you choose? Or do you intend to demonstrate who you really are and who God is? So I just can't say it enough. It's just so important for us to understand who we are. You know, so then the question is asked, but why am I so ready to always choose the negative and then to spank myself for it? And I say, what can you expect? You were told from the earliest days that you are bad. You accepted that you were born in sin. Feeling guilty is a learned response. You've been told to feel guilty about yourself for things you did before you could even do anything. You have been taught to feel shame for being born less than perfect. This alleged state of imperfection in which you are said to have come into the world is what your religionists have the gall to call original sin. It is original sin, but not yours. It is the first sin to be perpetrated upon you by a world which knows nothing of God if it thinks that God would or could create anything imperfect. Some religions have built up with theologies around this misconception, and this is what it is, literally a misconception. For anything that God conceives, all that to which God has given life, is perfect, a perfect reflection of perfection itself, made in the image and likeness of God. Yet, in order to justify the idea of a punitive God, religion needs to create something for God to be angry about. So that even those people who lead exemplary lives somehow need to be saved. If they don't need to be saved from themselves, then they need to be saved from their own built-in imperfections. So these religions say, and you do better to do something about all of this and fast, or you'll go straight to hell. This, in the end, may do nothing to modify a weird, vindictive, angry God, but it does give life to weird, vindictive, angry religions. Thus do religions perpetrate themselves. Thus does power remain concentrated in the hands of the few, rather than experience through the hands of the many. Of course, you choose constantly the lesser thought, the smaller idea, the tiniest concept of yourself and your power, to say nothing of God and his power. You've been taught this. Then you say, well, how can I undo the teaching? You can undo the teaching by reading and rereading different concepts over and over again. Read it, understand it, listen to this podcast over and over again. Until you understand every passage, until you're familiar with the very words. When you can quote the things that we've said here to others, when you can bring its phrases to mind in the midst of the darkest hour, then you will have done the teaching. Now, I know it sounds like we're boasting here, but it is another way. If when you're down and out, as we were speaking about, because you lost your job, and instead of getting depressed, instead of thinking that you've been cursed, look at it from the different perspective that you're on the bigger and better thing, and know this, because you can't fool yourself, because remember, it's only about you. So when you start to see it from that perspective, just think about the time without employment that you walk around miserable. If you would have spent that time realizing that it's only temporary, and because of who you are and who you're connected with, a change is going to come. Mm-hmm. So instead of looking at it as unemployed and stuff, why didn't you look at it as a vacation? That's going to be 6 or 7 whole months of pure joy instead of anguish. You have nothing to learn about relationships. You have only to demonstrate what you already know. So I just wanted to say that. I'm going to open up and just give, because I know my co-producer, he'd like to ask questions from some of the stuff that he's been learning. And he likes to ask questions just to give you a chance so that you can say, And there is so much stuff that has been written that we just blindly believe that we haven't stopped for a moment to say, So my co-producer, me.
Yeah. It's funny that you mention that, because I was speaking with a brother at work today, and you know, we had a discussion, and he tried to get me to see where just calling on the name Jesus makes everything all right. And I told him, you could probably call your name, and if it was going to be all right, it's still going to be all right. But I told him, I'm not belittling or demeaning Jesus. If calling Jesus' name makes you feel good, then call it. But just understand that your name is just as powerful.
Yeah, right now. Okay.
And then he looked at me like, you know, and so I asked him, well, you know, we started talking about, why do you believe what you believe? And the response was, again, through his life experience, he felt that Jesus pulled him out of some mighty low places. And again, when people feel that, I'm not going to take that from you and enjoy that. But just know, man, I just want you to know, man, that the same power that you contribute to any other force, it's you. And when you understand that, the next time, and I hope the next time don't have to be a next time, you'll understand that, again, I can call Jesus' name, but it's me doing it.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
Because Jesus, me and Jesus built the same.
Mm-hmm.
Talk now.
Yeah, so, you know, so, and a lot of times we forget, even though the story says it was an immaculate conception, he still came through the vaginal canal, the birth canal of a woman. So me and Jesus built the same.
Okay.
And what God gave him, he gave me. You know, what I was blessed with, he was blessed with. He just understood, again, as the writings go.
Well, I just, you're so true, bro. And I hate to interrupt you because you're ready to get your topic and go with it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say, as we were saying on the own thing, so if we really stop and think about just what it is that you just said, because of the way they picture God, if you really think about it, what was God? Using the analogy of Jesus and his immaculate conception. He was a rapist. Get quiet. But he was a rapist.
Mm.
Mary didn't know what happened, did she?
Right.
God, not only was he a rapist, he was a punk because he didn't even come back and talk to her. He sent somebody to tell her what he with him had done. You know what I mean?
Those are hard but true words, my brother. I mean, as we look at it in an analogy.
Right.
Very hard and true words.
But we choose to believe that.
Right, right.
Instead of believing that we all are part. Here's what you have to understand. In the beginning, they said it was nothing. It was nothing but God. Nothing. So if there's nothing but God.
On your list that when you're out. One day.
Okay. But anyway.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right, bro. If there is nothing but God, and then all of a sudden there was creation. Where did the creation come from? It had to come from the only thing it was.
Okay.
You can't create nothing out of something out of nothing. You got to have something, and all there was God. But the reason why this concept is so hard to understand is because we still, in the back of our mind, see God as this superhuman being. And I tell you now, God is energy. God is life. It even tells, this is once again what I'm saying, it even tells you, God is not a man. It tells people that, but they don't believe it. Okay, my brother, go ahead back. I'm sorry, I just had to get that so that we can understand what it is that we're saying to you. And it's important that you download these podcasts and listen to them periodically because it's time that you be retaught.
And we all know what that beautiful voice in the background means.
Yes.
That means it's another end to our half hour of power with our very own messenger, Brother Rondaya. Again, every Thursday night and Sunday night, we try to deliver a message to get you to think about your own existence. Again, this isn't hate teaching. This is love teaching. This
love.
Is teaching you to love yourself because if you really knew, one day it's going to hit you, who you really are, you can't help but to love yourself.
Amen.
So, hey, you know, let's go forth and spread the word, man, that we're not waiting for Jesus to come back or anything because the God that we need is here right now manifesting the spirit in each and every one of us.
Right.
So with that, I say a good evening to the audience. And again, let this message resonate and understand there is another way. Good night.
Amen. Amen.
Good night. Amen. Mm-hmm.